Are you tired of the endless supply of terrible storytelling? Of uninspiring, nihilistic stories that permeate most of modern-day entertainment? Are you tired of the diversity, equality, and inclusion standards that are forced upon movie creators and actors? Well, so are we. So go with us on a journey as we chronicle for you the latest news in entertainment, as we discuss the good, the bad, and the ugly of the film industry, and as we pave a way forward to see the kingdom of Christ grow and the dragon of secularism meet its end. Now, if you want to support us in our mission, please head over to patreon.com/thePowell Bros, or follow the link in the show notes. There, you will gain access to our exclusive show, The Powell Bros Mini Reviews, as well as early access to both Movie Chronicles and Movie Reviews. Now, on with the show.
All right, welcome back to Movie Chronicles with the Powell Bros. I am one of your hosts, Tobias Powell, joined with Trent, your other host. Trent, how are you doing?
Hello! Doing great. Nice to be doing Chronicles again every week. Yep.
I know there's a few bigger things going on. Do you have a lot of other stuff? I haven't really seen much else besides the two big things going on.
I guess depends on what you mean by the two big things. I mean, there's still more Spider-Man 4 Venom stuff, and then you have the whole Pixar deal with how they are choosing not to make agenda-focused films. And did you hear about that?
Uh-uh.
Oh. Okay, well, maybe that's a good place to start. Especially because it's gonna piggyback off it for a lot of things. So, Inside Out 2, when they were making it, when they were animating it, producing it, there was a push within Pixar to make sure that it was very clear that Riley was a lesbian. She was the gay. That she liked the other hockey player female character that she befriends in the movie. There were a lot of pushing. They wanted to add some lines. I mean, which is all it really takes. All it takes is like one line, you know, one quick scene where she's flirting with her, where she says something related to her feelings, attraction towards her, or whatever it is. That's all they had to do, is add one line. And there were a lot of Pixar that were pushing it. You had, you know, going, let's go back to Lightyear. Okay, you had the first gay kiss, lesbian kiss in a Pixar movie, in a Disney movie, you know, and that, of course, created a big uproar, and no one saw that movie. One, it was a terrible movie, but also parents didn't want to take their kids to see that. Like, they don't want the character's sexuality to be thrown in front of their face, and most parents don't want their kids to be receiving all these messages and agendas and have it forced upon them in such a way.
And the majority of parents are not lesbians.
The more you know.
Yeah. Because it doesn't work too well having kids while being gay.
Yeah. So they have, I can't remember, I think it's Pete Docter. He's like one of the biggest guys in Pixar. I'm pretty sure he's the one that kind of course corrected, if I'm not mistaken. It was either he was for the agendas or he was course correcting. I think course corrected. Anyways, so when they were making, I think there's been reports that they've been firing a lot of people. Well, Disney has. I don't know if you know this, and we haven't really talked about this. Disney, I think Netflix, Amazon, Warner Bros. They are cutting their DEI programs and DEI employees that they've hired, and all these different branches of the studio. They are cutting it. One, because they can't afford to pay people to work a job where they're, you know, trying to force and put in and add their DEI, their diversity, equity, and inclusion in all their projects and films and everything they have in entertainment, they can't afford to keep paying these people to do these things. Why? Because there's no return on investment. They don't have a return on investment. They're the product that they are producing, no one is buying, no one is consuming, no one wants to watch this stuff, no one cares about this stuff, no one cares about the sexuality of their characters, no one cares about the skin color of their characters, no one cares about whether or not your character is female or male, as long as if they're done well. And of course, we've talked about that a lot, how they need to honor men need to honor masculinity, women need to honor femininity. But overall, people don't care the gender of their characters. They don't care about all these things, but they keep forcing it, keep pushing it, and just continuing to, put it everywhere. So they're nixing all their DEI programs, which is just wild and hilarious. Uh-huh. Pixar has had this kind of similar thing where they've fired a lot of these people that have been pushing these agendas. And I think Pete Docter's the one that was like, no, we're going to go back to form. We're going to go back to what works. We're going to not push all these agendas. We're going to be more, I think, universal in our stories, meaning that they're going to tell stories that everyone can enjoy, that everyone can consume, like everything that Pixar has done in the past that has been successful. So Inside Out 2 comes out. They're like, nope, we're not pushing this agenda. We're not making Riley gay. We're actually going to make it very clear that she's not gay. I mean, they don't make it clear that she's heterosexual, I don't think. I mean, they do in the first movie, but the second one, I don't know. I haven't seen it, so I can't say anything about that. But anyways, so they make it clear she's not gay. They don't push any agendas. And guess what? Inside Out 2 is the number one animated, grossed animated film, not adjusting for inflation, but it's made $1.6 billion. I'm pretty sure it was 1.6. It is the highest grossing animated film of all time. And Pixar is obviously best film of all, most grossed film of all time. Why? Because parents went and they saw it and there was word of mouth and they said, oh, this is actually really good. Oh, they're not preaching to me. Oh, there's not messages. Oh, there's not lesbian kissing it. Oh, there's not all this. There's not all this agenda forcing. And it's actually a good story with good morals that all children can watch for the most part. I guess I'm not letting my kids watch those movies for different reasons. But either way, it was a good story. And guess what? They made money. It was profitable. Mm-hmm. Whoop-dee-dee. Or wow. Didn't see that coming. So, yeah. Anyways, that's what happened with that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Don't be gay. Basically, yeah. You know, remove gay and make money. Put gay and lose money.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Hopefully, we're putting gay in. But in a different
we're putting
context.
Gay in our show.
Yeah, what was the thing? What's going on with Spider-Man?
Oh, there's just more rumors. I don't even, I'm not sure what's exactly new, but it's sounding more and more like people, like inside scoopers are saying that Spider-Man 4 is going to be a multiversal event. It's going to it's going to be after Doomsday, and it's going to set up Secret Wars. You're going to have Tom Hardy's Venom. Teaming up with Spider-Man, with Tom Holland's Spider-Man, you're probably gonna have Toby and Andrew.
Yeah. So that's like the end. That's the multiversal thing that they're talking about. It's like
yes,
Tom Hardy, probably other Sony villains,
yeah. Right? And probably Noel, which I've been reading more about him. Like he's a super cool villain, and he's like Thanos level.
Oh, like, yeah, for sure.
It's weird that they're introducing him in this film, but I kind of get it if they're setting it up for Spider-Man 4. And like you said last week, it's probably just going to be a little cameo at the end. You know, they're going to talk about it. You're going to be aware that he's there, but you won't really show up till the end. But we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, he'll be the villain, and Spider-Man and Venom will team up in Spider-Man 4. That's the rumors, and it seems to be more the case. Oh, yeah, because... Oh, this was it. Apparently, Kevin Feige and Sony, Marvel and Sony, are pretty close to finalizing a deal. And the reason that we're not getting a street level Spider-Man with Kingpin and Daredevil is because Sony doesn't want that. And so they're compromising, and it sounds like Marvel and Kevin Feige are going to be allowed to use Spider-Man in more projects in Marvel. But the catch is they have to do a multiversal event, whatever, Spider-Man 4, make a big deal, make a big thing. So there's kind of like a, you know, pros and cons. There's a, you know, that both sides are going to have to compromise, and it sounds like they are, and that's, we're going to see Tom Holland Spider-Man in like more projects, like maybe in, you know, Captain America 4 or even Thunderbolts, maybe. Like, he's going to be showing up in like random projects more often. That's what it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense after No Way Home, but whatever.
Well, on the Marvel track, I guess we can talk about Agatha All Along.
It was gay all along.
So the first two episodes, are they out? They're out, right?
Yep, they are out. I have seen half of them.
Really?
I saw the first one last night.
You saw the first episode?
I saw the first episode. It was really boring. It wasn't that
anything gay in that one?
No, not really. It was just weird. There's some sexualization and there's some weird... I don't know. It wasn't terrible. It was just boring. And they didn't set up the story very well. There's nothing intriguing. There's nothing that... There's no hook. There's just... Apparently the second episode's even, you know, just as boring. And then the third and fourth episodes where we're getting all the gay stuff. We find out that Agatha and Audrey Plaza's characters are got the hots for each other. Find out that the Scarlet Witch, Wanda Maximoff, her son from WandaVision, his character is gay. He has a boyfriend. And which we knew because his character in the comics is gay. So, you know,
They already revealed that?
Well, the character that, so, you know, the two sons in WandaVision?
Yeah, yeah.
So one of them, the character in the comics is gay.
Yeah, but so, like, they already revealed that in the show?
They will in episode 3.
Oh, like you're just guessing or?
No, there's, like, critics have been able to watch it. And I watched a video. So Chris Gore from Film Threat, he's seen the first four episodes, and he kind of laid them out. And basically, like, it's basically Acolyte 2.0. It's not as bad. It's like, the thing about Agatha is that there's no lore to really break. I mean, no one really cares about Agatha in the comics that much, though they're completely. It's all made up. Like, you can take this out of Marvel, and it would still just be a show about lesbian witches. Like, it has nothing to do with Marvel. There's nothing Marvel about it. There's no superheroes.
It's just more gay, lesbian witches. Just like the Acolyte.
It is the gayest Marvel show. It just as Acolyte was the gayest Star Wars show, because we all care about the sexuality of our shows and who's banging who. So very interested.
Jeez.
But basically,
you're gonna love episode 4 for our show for the baseball league.
Oh, great.
You're gonna love it.
Awesome.
I'm halfway through writing it, and it's okay. I think it's so funny. Like, okay. Not to give myself too much credit, but I think it's hilarious.
Nice. Look forward to reading it.
Yeah.
So basically, if you liked episode 3 of The Acolyte, then you're gonna love these lesbian superhero witches. Well, so if you love lesbian witches in space, you're gonna love lesbian space or lesbian witches.
In Marvel. Well, yeah, probably lesbian space witches in Earth
with powers. It's not the Force now; it's witch, the magic. They have magic, basically. But this is just for you. You know, this is. If you liked episode 3 of The Acolyte, if you loved The Acolyte, you know, this is your show. They literally do a repeat of the power of one, the power of two, the power of many, the chanting song. They literally do a chant song in episode 2 of the show, where all the witches sing a song at the end. It's not catchy. It's really cringy. It's really annoying. It's really weird. But they all sing a song together. All the witches join. And
is it written by the same people?
No.
Seems like it is.
Well, I know. It's like, oh, yeah, you remember what we did with The Acolyte and how successful that was? Yeah, let's do that again, but let's do it with Marvel. You know, that's what everyone's looking for. That's what everyone wants. remember that show that was just canceled like a month ago? Oh, yeah, I remember that. Okay, well, let's repeat that, but for Marvel. It's not the same. The Acolyte actually, like actually attacked and like ruined a lot of the lore of Star Wars, messing with the Jedi, messing with Yoda, messing with Plagueis, messing with the freaking Force.
Well, it's because there was a patriarchal lore to attack.
Well, yeah,
and that's what they did. What
they went after
Marvel. Marvel doesn't have that. Marvel doesn't have a patriarchal lore.
True. I mean, sort of.
There
I mean,
is patriarchy.
If you want to go back to the beginning of Marvel, like, I mean.
Well, yeah. But, like.
Yeah. Anyways.
Well, yeah, if you go back to the beginning of the movies and if you go back to the beginning of the comics, but it's been so tainted since then that, like, there's not much left to even attack. So they're just.
True. They're not.
Lesbian but, witches.
Like, basically, this show, like, because the thing is. You have to ask, who is this show written for? Like, this is not written for the male audience. This is written for maybe gay males. This is written for childless cat ladies. This is written for you Taylor Swift folks. Okay, you childless cat ladies. Oops. This is written for you. Okay, this is just for you. It's right up your alley. If you listen to Taylor Swift, guess what? This is your show. it's literally what it is.
Yeah.
But even within that, it's like it's not a good story. It's not well written.
I'm definitely gonna, whether you make it or not, like we have to cut that clip out.
Oh, I know. I will.
Why don't you say it again and just make it a little more clear that it's Agatha all along that you're talking about? If you like Taylor Swift, then you'll love Agatha all along.
Okay.
Just kidding.
Okay. No, I'll do it. Yeah. Okay. So. It is delivered for childless cat ladies. This is for you Taylor Swift fans. If you listen to Taylor Swift, then Agatha All Along is the show for you. Lesbian witches running around with their lesbian problems, doing all their lesbian things. Listen to Taylor Swift probably. This is for you.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. That's it was great. Lesbian witches all along. You know what we used to do with witches? We used to burn them. Because witchcraft is wicked. Witchcraft is something you don't mess with. You'd be conjuring demons. But now we celebrate them. Now we make TV shows about them. Now we... put them on this high pedestal. So did you watch like some of the interviews on the red carpet premiere?
No.
Okay. Well, like though, like the clips that have been going around. So this guy, I think I don't know who he works for, but he went around to every one of the cast and the directors, and he asked the same question. He says, you know, I've heard that that Agatha is like the gayest Marvel show ever. Is that true? And he went around and asked every single one that exact same question. You can find the clips of every single one. And some of them tried to like dodge it and like don't take the bait. But most of them do take the bait, and especially Audrey Plaza, who kind of has fun with it. She's just Audrey Plaza.
Mm-hmm.
But because she's like, yeah, like that's what I signed up for. It better be like. I wouldn't expect anything else. And everyone else is basically like, well, one of them says, yeah. And she says, by the end, this is the director of the first episode, I think. She says, by the end of the show, it's going to be a gay explosion.
That was Aubrey Plaza that said that.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
A gay explosion. It's going to be everywhere. So.
Yep.
Going to get all over you. That's weird. Okay. This is just, it's dumb.
Yeah. Wow. Speaking of gay, have you seen the... I know you have. The Office Australia trailer.
Oh, okay, so, yeah. What did you think of it? I've been talking too much. What do you think about it? You just finished The Office. I'm watching The Office. I'm on season 4. For like the 9th time. I've watched it many times. But anyways,
yeah, I know. I already want to watch The Office again. Yeah, it's just so good. Because like, I feel like when you finish season 9 and having 2 seasons without Michael, and you see Michael at the end, you're like, I want to watch Michael again. Like, I want to go back to totally. Those good old days. But yeah. So many problems with this. There's one thing I liked in the trailer, and so it'd be easier just to talk about the things that I liked, because there's one compared to the numerous problems I have. I liked the idea of the show being like, oh, COVID just ended. You know, we've been working from home. Now we all have to come back to the office. Like, I think that's a great idea. Like, that's just genius.
Yeah.
Apart from that, everything else was dumb. having the female boss, a female Dwight.
Yeah, female Dwight. That's so weird. It's cringy. It's really cringy, actually.
Yeah. The guy that I think he's supposed to be like Ryan with the weird wig. Like, I don't know what's going on with that.
Yeah, it couldn't.
It looked so bad. Like, I don't know what that's supposed to look like, but it looks bad. Like, it just looks like a wig thrown on this bald guy. Like,
yeah. You have Chubby Pam.
Yeah, Chubby Pam. I guess they left Jim as a male. He's one of 2 males, right?
I guess so.
Oh, no, three males. There's that other guy he's a doofus.
Yeah.
I don't know who he's supposed to be, but...
I don't know.
Yeah, and then obviously they're clearly pushing, like... I like that they're at least self-aware that they are...
That's one thing I was thinking about, yeah.
Like, because... but they were doing it in a way that it's like, we're aware that we're like this, but we're still like this.
You're right.
Like, we're, and I can't remember what joke it was. It was towards the end when she was like, I think she was talking about like promoting women or whatever to higher positions. And
she's, we're all about, just, you know, make sure women are represented in high positions of power. It's time for. She said something about girl bosses, I think, but actually like, talking about a boss that's a girl.
But like I said, they're still doing it, and so I don't, you know, it doesn't make it any good in my opinion. But I also just didn't. I mean, there wasn't a single character like I connected with. Like there wasn't a single character like, oh, I want more of that. None of them like had like an interesting personality that was like, I want to see more of that. Not a single one of them. And I mean, this is just a technical thing, but the way they do the interviews where they're centered, I don't like that.
That was kind of odd. It wasn't,
I hadn't seen that before.
After watching the trailer, I wanted to go back and watch the British Office.
I've been wanting to watch it.
I've seen a few episodes. I want to go back. Cause like,
it's on my list.
Because one thing I was wondering is it not funny because we don't get Aussie humor? Like Australian humor? Is it just different? Mm. You know, is this like appealing to Australians more? Maybe. Or is it just cringy and not funny? That's probably more likely.
The thing is, this is made by Prime Video, so I don't, is it
well, they're targeted, they're distributing towards it. I don't know like how involved I don't think Jeff Bezos was, you know, standing, you know, on set
no
direct telling,
but I mean like doing. It kind of, I don't think it's targeted for Australians.
Oh well, it's, I mean, it's being promoted.
The Office is huge I know, but like that's the only reason they're doing that is because it's their only opportunity to reboot The Office without saying, hey, we're rebooting The Office.
Good point. Yeah, you're right. Because like, Amazon's the one doing it. So it's not like it's Australian TV or what, yeah. like the BBC of in Australia that's producing it. So that's a good point.
Yeah.
I don't
know. Yeah. Well, like the original Office only did 3 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people say there's a lot of aspects of it that just weren't funny. It just didn't work. And
right.
probably a lot of people struggled yeah. to connect with and. Yeah.
Because universally, the American U.S. office is considered better than the British office. Now, yeah. you know, those in, you know, over in the U.K. probably would say that it's, maybe they would say differently. Like, maybe those that are fans of the British office, they would disagree. But I think overall, universally, people would say, like, typically. Oh,
absolutely.
Say, yeah. The U.S. office was just better. It was well.
Anytime anybody asks about the show we're doing, I always tell them, "Well, you know, The Office," and they're like, "Oh yeah, of course." Yeah. I'm like, "Well, it's kind of like that. It's a mockumentary. It's you know, we do the interviews and we have a camera crew and just like that. But like everybody knows The Office. Like
yeah.
I haven't met a single person that's like, what's The Office? Or no, that? I haven't seen The Office. Like." Just everybody's seen it.
Yeah. Exactly. So it's a good point.
So yeah, what'd you think of it?
Basically what you said. There were some aspects of it that could be interesting. But and because like I know like the Michael Scott character, the Jim character, I think even Pam and probably Dwight were all pretty much copy and pasted from the British office. Characters in that, like literally the first episode of The Office is a shot for shot remake of the first episode of the British Office.
Yeah.
They were like intentionally, like we're saying, we're going to take this, but we're going to make it American and we're going to take your characters and basically do the same thing with them just in our own interpretation. So it's like, okay, they're doing the same thing with Oz The Office, but they're obviously race swapping the two biggest characters or not race swapping. Sorry. Gender swapping, and the question is like, does that work? I think with Jim or with Michael, like a over the top boss who can't stay in a relationship that's always making people making everyone around him feel unsafe, and that you know creates a kind of a toxic work environment problem with. A lot of problems, but it's still like you can't help but love him. You kind of see past the low IQ and can kind of sympathize in a sense with him. Doing that in a female way version, like it could work. I don't know.
Well, I don't think they will make her seem dumb though either. I think they're gonna go more with like she's, you know, kind of abrasive, she's over the top, but yeah. I don't think they're gonna play her as dumb at all.
I would be surprised if they did. But who knows? Then the Dwight, like when I saw they gender swapped Dwight, I thought that was really dumb. Like that is forced. And it's just forced and cringy and does not work. Like you can't just take a character like Dwight and then make it a woman. Like if you get to that point where like we want a female character in this role that is like close friends with the boss sort of, but like kind of like a kiss butt to the to the boss. It's like if you want a character like that, you don't have to copy and paste from Dwight. Like just create a new character.
I also want to note something. It's like the reason they did the American version of the English version, is because the English version failed, and they liked the idea. They thought it was a good concept, a good idea.
But they already canceled it.
I'm fairly certain. Here, let me look it up real quick.
That'd be interesting if that's the case. Like, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, it's 2 years after it was canceled.
Oh, okay. So that makes sense.
So It had already failed.
Huh.
It was a good concept, a good idea. It just didn't work with, I mean, because I still haven't seen the British version, and I want to watch it. I'm probably going to I'm probably going to watch the first episode tonight, honestly. Actually,
no, definitely do it, especially for your show. Like, this would be, it'd be great to have another mockumentary, but like one that inspired The Office. Ricky Gervais does a great job as like a Michael Scott like character.
Well, what I've heard, so what I've heard is that it's a lot more. It's not as family friendly as The Office is what I've heard.
I think you're right.
Is that there's more language, there's cruder jokes, and just things like that, and so. Anyway, my point was that they, since it failed, they knew it was a good concept and it could work, and especially in the American market, so that's what they did. They made The Office, the American version of The Office, and everybody loved it. Why are they doing the Australia version? Does Australia really need their own version? No. This is just a way to reboot The Office for Americans in the Australian market, like in Australian. But I think it's for Americans, and they shouldn't be rebooting something that was already so successful.
Yeah, that's what I was
saying. Like Australians, what's the difference here? Yeah, Australians can go watch The Office, like the American Office, and I'm sure many of them have.
Nine
like,
seasons, or seven.
Yeah.
Wait. Again, eight's not terrible, but nine's terrible. Yeah.
I couldn't stand Will Ferrell.
No. Oh, he is the worst part of The Office.
Yeah.
And it's like, I love Will Ferrell, but his character I don't think it was well written at all. Maybe that he was so bad that means it was good. Like, that was like what they're going for.
Yeah.
But there, I think there's also a reason he only was there for like three or four episodes.
It
felt like longer, but I don't think it was that long. And then they pretty much killed him off.
Like, yeah.
Made him a vegetable. Because it probably wasn't working. They're like, okay, we got to do something with this guy. Hey, I don't know. I'll have to look into that a little more.
Yeah, that's funny.
I don't think so. Well, I mean, speaking of The Office, season two, I think is... For one, I would say season two is the best season. I mean, I'm in four. I'm watching it more critically. I don't like season three that much. I mean, I like it. It's just not as good. But I love what they did in season two with pretty much all our characters and how they kind of progressed. Jim and Pam and Ed Roy and all those scenarios, and then Michael and Jan and Ryan's development, and then Dwight and Angela. I think it was so well done. I get to three and like, man, there's a lot of duds in three. It's episode wise. Mm-hmm. Like, they just don't land. I think felt like in season two, like every episode was just like banger after banger. It's just really well done. So anyways, enough of The Office. Well, actually, I don't know. Do you have a favorite season?
I don't know which one would be my favorite. I just watch like I'm not really paying attention to what season I'm on as I'm watching it. Yeah. So I guess I should do that more. But yeah. Well, there's also still the spin-off of the American version of The Office, which will be on Peacock, which is just weird, but 'cause I was so surprised that we got a trailer for this, 'cause like we heard about the spin-off way before we heard about the Australia version, and now we have a trailer for the Australia version. Like, I mean, we talked about it. Like, it was announced like a few weeks ago.
Right. It was. Yeah. Like, and they just dropped the trailer yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was strange.
I was quite surprised about that.
Definitely.
I'm definitely interested to see what they're going to do with the spinoff series and see how good it's going to be.
Yeah. My biggest thing is, how politically correct are they going to be? Like, that's just a
question. Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's really what it comes down to. Like, are you gonna bow to the mob? Are you going to try to please the pronouns and bio weirdos, or are you gonna just make good comedy? You know, make fun of all types of people without worrying about offending people. Because once you worry about who you're gonna offend, you've already, comedy's already dead. You know, once you're concerned about what others are gonna think about your skits and your shows and your writing, then your comedy has died, and it's not funny anymore. It can't be. It really can't be funny.
Yeah,
so, we'll see.
Yeah, comedy is not for the easily offended, and and they're trying to make it for them, and that doesn't work.
True. It's just so funny, like, where comedy is now. Like, you don't get the type of comedies that we got in the early 2000s. Like, like the, well, I mean, the other guys is later. That's the first one that came to mind. Step Brothers, which I don't recommend. 40-Year-Old Virgin, I don't recommend that either, but Steve Carell. Anchorman, Blades of
Tropic
Glory,
Tropic Thunder.
Those type of comedies, like, we're not get, like, the, you know, the Vince Vaughn, early Seth Rogen, Will Ferrell, even Mark Wahlberg has a lot. All those guys, like, you don't see it anymore, because of today's cultural climate, I think, for a lot of reasons. And because it's not like they weren't successful. I think they were relatively successful. I mean, they weren't, you know, making $1 billion in theaters, but they were.
Well, even Adam Sandler, like,
yeah,
I mean, he still makes movies, but he doesn't make great comedies anymore.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, true.
A lot of his stuff probably is very filtered by Netflix.
Yeah, probably. A lot of it's, I think, and a lot of these guys, I think we just don't have the actors anymore. Like, we don't have the Vince Vaughns. We don't have the Will Ferrells. These guys are getting old, and a lot of them are, you know, going with the winds of the culture, and a lot of them just not funny anymore. Like, well, Seth Rogen.
And absolutely nobody growing up right now, like, in the film industry, like, anybody that's younger, like, the age they were when they were, you know, at their top, like, we have absolutely nobody that will ever have as much backbone as they did to actually make something funny. Like, it will not happen. Every single one of the top stars that are, like, in their mid to late 20s, like, they're going to 100% be all for the cultural, you know, DEI and diversity, just all that stuff.
Yeah. Like, you see Will Ferrell, he's doing, like, this documentary with, I think, Netflix, where it's about his like, one of his closest friends who, the story is about him following and, like, supporting his friend who transitioned from a man to a fake woman, who, you know, who had a sex change, and, like, the movie is about it's a documentary about how he dealt with that and how he supported him through that process. And it's ridiculous. But I mean, I, like, one guy, like, Mark Wahlberg, like, he, you know, he's, you know, devout Catholic. He, you know, stands for good morals and family values. I'm trying to think, like, the last movie that I saw of his I thought was funny was probably, like, Daddy's Home. Was that with Will Ferrell too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, him and Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
Like, they made two of them, and Mel Gibson was he in the second one, or was he in the first one?
Yeah, he was in the second one. I think he is.
Like, I thought those were.
Oh,
like,
yeah, he was only in the second one.
I think those were, like, semi-decent, funny films.
Yeah, and, no, you know, very good.
Interesting concept.
I like watching the second one for Christmas.
Yeah. You know, filled with family values and good morals for the most part, I think. I don't even remember. It's been a while since I've seen him. But for the most part, like, decent. I don't know what else he's done that, like, as far as comedies. I mean, he's done the Ted movies. Definitely don't recommend those. I've not seen them. Never will. But that's with Seth MacFarlane, who's the Family Guy guy. The thing is, like, when you have an actor or a director or a producer who doesn't talk about their politics, it is most likely the fact that they're conservative. You know, if they're not talking about their politics, they're probably more conservative, and they're just going with the flow and doing their thing and not getting involved. You know, because you always have reporters asking them about political things, and usually they just shy away or just cut off. Like, you know, I don't care. Like, you have, I think it was Usher or someone who was asked, like, you know, who are you gonna, or what do you think of Donald Trump or something, or who are you gonna vote for? What do you think of Kamala Harris? I can't remember what it was, but he basically just said, like, you know, my political views don't matter. Like, I'm not gonna talk about this. Like, it has nothing to do with who I am or any of this. Like, he doesn't take the bait. A lot of people do take the bait, and those who take the bait are usually the liberals who you know, whose political views align with the rest of Hollywood. But when your political views don't, it's, you know, you get outcasted and blacklisted. So
yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, for sure.
I did not expect to talk about all that. Usually how the show goes. The Chronicles.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. One thing that's interesting about our show is that we're not even trying to make, like, a timeless show like The Office. Like, I hope that in 20 years they look back and they're like, why did the Powell Bros make a show so with so much wokeness and making fun of woke so much, like, that people are just like,
that ended in 2025.
Yeah. Like, this is such a terrible show. Yeah. Like, why would they make a show about this stuff? And why did everybody like it?
Right. Yep.
Yeah. I find that to be, I was thinking about that today. I was like, you know, it's like, we're not, like, making something that's really going to be timeless. It's for this time.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, it's for where we're at. And that's,
yeah,
you know, and, like, we would both say that there's a place, there's time and place for both those. Like, we want timeless stories. We want timeless comedy. We want timeless movies and films and TV shows that and just stories that extend over time, that last over time, that are impactful and inspire generations down the road. You know, we want those kind of stories, but we also do need stories that deal with our political climate and where we're at, and are combating the culture that we are living in right now. Because we don't want to always be defensive. Like, we don't want to always be on the defensive. Our show is kind of on the defensive, but also being off, on the offense at the same time.
I would say
it's offensive.
It's on the offense. It's on the offense.
I say defense in that, like, we are responding to the, I would say, attacks of the left. And we're saying, this is where we're at, this is what we're dealing with, and we are in our receiving those attacks, we're attacking. So there is, we are on the offense. I get that. Like, I'd say being on the offense would be, let's just make good content that is timeless, that's not dealing with, you know, where we're at politically and in our culture and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Which, even within that, we're still trying to do that in our show, where we're telling a good story, and we're creating good characters that are developing and growing, and seeing that the world that we're stuck in, this fantasy, this clown world that we're in, is really that's what it is. It's a clown world. It's fake. It's lifeless. It's fruitless. It doesn't last, and it's gonna die. And that's what the show's about. Showing that it's going to die. And then what comes after that? What comes out of that death? And we hope that we can tell a story that shows that there is life out beyond that.
Yeah.
Once our characters realize the ridiculousness of the world, and some will.
Yeah, our show definitely could. Yeah. Our show can definitely turn into a timeless show
Yes.
If we find it right to turn the characters in a better direction.
Yes.
People will be like, just don't watch the first 5 seasons. Start at season 6. That's where it gets good.
That's where it gets good.
That's what they'll say in 20 years, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, sure. Exactly.
All right. I think that's it for...
Yeah, there was one more. I was going to talk about the Rings of Power, but... No, it's fine. We'll talk about it next week.
All right. Sounds good.
It's just one repurposed line they used that was ridiculous. It was just whatever. Stop messing with Tom Bombadil. I'll just say that.
Oh, yeah. Are you still watching the episodes as they come out?
Well, I watched last week's and I haven't watched this week's yet, which came out, I guess, last night.
Huh. Yeah. All right. You want to close us out?
I think so. There was one more thing. I'm trying to remember. Can I do one more quick thing?
Yep.
So I'm actually, after this, I'm going to go see Am I Racist by Matt Walsh. Speaking of kind of dealing with the cultural climate and being on the defense, but also on the offense, being defensive and then taking the offense against our culture. And telling actually a good story in that form, even though it's like a documentary. It's funny how all the big movie critics have refused to review it. I think now they reviewed. So on Rotten Tomatoes, you have to have 5 official critics. I don't know what they call it, like registered critics or whatever they are on Rotten Tomatoes. You have to have 5 in order to get a score. And, he, for the longest time, didn't have a score from the critic side. The from the audience side, he did, and it's like a 89 or something. I don't know. I'll be there in just a second. But you know, it's coming off of What Is a Woman, and he's just like, okay, now I'm going to ask another question: Am I racist? I'm a white cisgender male.
98% Trent.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So 98%, and then he has 10 reviews now.
Wow.
So he did get some critics. Only 10, but for a while they were
that's
refusing.
Crazy.
Yeah, it is. Wow. They had a 1,000 plus verified ratings on the audience side, but
that's wow, crazy.
I'm probably 10.
I've heard great things from it.
Yeah. Me too.
And well, that it's I've heard it's also a lot different than What Is a Woman, because What Is a Woman is more making fun of people, and I've heard this one isn't as much, and it is actually it's a comedy, of course, but I've heard it goes deeper than
What Is a Woman. So I'd say like What Is a Woman is more important as far as like us defining that our culture defining it and us telling the world what a woman actually is and exposing the fact that our world doesn't know what men are and whatnot. So as far as like and being impactful, like that one's more important, but this one has a different impact because of how they're now distributing it, because What Is a Woman was just on Daily Wire, on the Daily Wire Plus. This one's in theaters. It's been like 1,500 theaters across the U.S. I was really surprised my theater put in. I'm in a pretty liberal town, and even Montana, and they're playing it. I was stoked about that, so I was like, I got to see it and support it.
I've heard going to this movie is where you make new friends.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. Last I checked, there was one person that bought tickets so far. So we'll see.
Oh man.
So, anyways,
all right. Yeah,
just interesting, and I'll report back to y'all after I.
Yeah, you'll have to do a mini review of it.
Yeah, I will do that
for sure. Cool. Hey, you can check out our Patreon for that. We have tons of content, tons of movies we've reviewed on there that are only on there. Soon, and we take suggestions as well.
Our TV show.
Yep. And soon to be released is our TV show on there as well. So lots of content, and we got a couple movies on there. Yeah.
Definitely.
All right. You want to close us out?
Sure. Thank you all for watching another Movie Chronicles with the Powell Bros. And we are happy to chronicle for you everything that's going on in modern entertainment and pop culture and give our perspective on it, and also present it in the light of reality, in the light of nature, but most importantly in the light of scripture and from a biblical worldview. And we hope that we were helpful in doing that, and we just ask that you know, be careful what you watch and what you consume, and that you be discerning, but that you also glorify God in all that you do and all that you watch, and that you honor him in all your works and deeds. And if you're and please ask us questions, interact with us on our various platforms. Like, we'd love to have discussions and hear what other people are saying and what the other people are thinking. And if you guys have questions about any of this and what's going on in our world and in entertainment and how we're perceiving it and what we're talking about, any disagreements, if you have disagreements, please, let's argue, let's get at it. Please do. But also, if you're watching on YouTube or Rumble, please like, comment, subscribe. Please subscribe. Like, we would love it if we could grow our channels. We would love it if we can do this more. And so please, like, the more support we get, the more we can do. And if you're listening on podcasts, go over to YouTube and like, comment, and subscribe on it. Tell us your favorite season of The Office. Tell us your favorite TV show. I don't know, whatever it is. But talk to us. Let us know. So anyways, that's it for us. So please stay tuned for next time, and we'll see you next time, next week. And
yep.
This is the Movie Chronicles.
Cool.
We're out.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
Bye.